Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Welcome to Podvincible, a podcast about Invincible on Prime Video. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about the season 3 premiere of Invincible.
We're back. We're feeling Invincible.
And are you're we? Not laughing now. That's the name of the premiere, if you haven't watched it. 3 episodes dropped on Prime Video on premiere day, but we're just going to be talking about the first one on this episode. And brief bit of recap here.
You should be able to do this briefly. The previously on
was sick, dude. That thing was dense, bro.
I mean, I am going to try to do it simply because Invincible is getting ready for the Viltrumite invasion. He is bulking up. He's getting stronger. He is also dealing with Oliver, his little brother, who is not so little anymore and is starting to get powers much earlier than Mark did. Meanwhile, the Guardians of the Globe in this episode is all back together as Duplicate reveals she's alive. Shrinking Ray is back from convalescing after the Lizard League's attack last season. But it's just in time because they all get captured by Doc Seismic, taken underground with only Mark and Eve left to save everybody. They don't do that. So Cecil calls in the cavalry, which is a bunch of bad guys, Darkwing 2, and also the Reanimen to save them, which pisses Mark off to no end. And we end the episode with him facing off with Cecil. A couple of other quick things to mention. Alan, the alien, is imprisoned in space with Nolan, trying to be friends with him. Also, we get Fightmaster, and I should have written down the name, Kickpuncher or whatever. They're two time-traveling twins that are stealing the Declaration of Independence. Multipaul duplicates. Also, Multiplying Brother shows up and attacks Rexplode and Invincible. And on the romance front, which I assume, this is just my guess, but I feel like this is probably where we're going to start. Mark expresses some feelings for Eve based on having encountered her alternate universe future double last season, who said she was in love with him for 20 years. We're getting some movement there. What's up, Justin?
I was going to say, I was just going to get right at Pete, and because Pete's an Amber truther, if I remember correctly.
Whoa, I don't know about the truther part, but Team M's for sure.
Now, how M's? Do you feel? You're basically out. It's over.
Hold on. I got to ask, was M's, was that a portmanteau for Amber and Mark, where you just used the first letter of Mark's name, or were you just was M's short for Amber? What was going on?
M's was short for Amber,
okay. Ambs. Not a great nickname.
Yeah. AMA, ask me anything.
Oh, thanks for spelling it out for me.
Mm-hmm. That's an internet thing.
Yeah. Well, Mark immediately blew it after he asked her out. You know what I mean? So it was a real roller coaster of a rom-com moment there. But, I mean, I was also surprised. No Nick Cage joke? You're going to steal the Declaration of Independence? Not one Nick Cage joke?
I was also surprised about that.
You can't,
guys. One? That's the most ripe. You gotta dig a little deeper than that.
I wanted Invincible. It. Show them in the background. You know what I mean? Like just being Nick Cage or something. You know,
we don't know the nature of Nick Cage in the Invincible universe. Like he might not be. You know, he might have stolen a different.
You're
document.
Gonna steal the Declaration of Independence and not make one reference to Nick.
Well,
Cage.
I believe, if I remember correctly from the comic books, Nick Cage is in Chicago when there's the big fight between Mark and Nolan. And he's horribly killed. So the world doesn't like to talk about it too much because it's too sad. So that's why they avoided the joke.
Yeah. Right? And the world wasn't able to experience the movie Pig and others.
The Unbearable Weight of Lightness. I honestly don't remember the title of the
movie. Yeah, exactly. 1,000 Years of Batitude?
Yeah, and actually it was so horrible that it went back and destroyed Kick-Ass as well. So, like, that doesn't exist. continuity of Invincible. It's all, and I'm upset that you brought it up, Pete, honestly.
Oh, okay, yeah. Good. Sweet.
Everyone's mad.
Yeah, what did you think about the fact that Fightmaster and whatever the other character's name, they're voiced by Xolo Maraduena, Blue Beetle, Cobra Kai.
Yeah, come on. Good tough. Good mm-hmm. stuff.
Well, let me ask you this. The thing that I found strange about that is Mark not really knowing what the Declaration of Independence was. I was like, what? The S's mom, she's like, you should go to college. I was like, college? You don't major in that. That's a known quantity.
I mean, yes, I agree with you. I feel like that was an over-dumbing down of Mark that happened hugely. In that moment.
Yes.
Certainly he is not the smartest guy, and I think that's something that plays out through the comic books and through the show as well, which I appreciate that he's not like super. It always kind of bothers me a little bit that Superman's like, I have all these powers, and also I'm a super genius who can build robots.
Well, hey, I hear you on that. Agree. Yeah. But I also want my heroes to be on par with me, a regular person. I want a smart hero that I, because it's hard to be like, I love Invincible. I look up to him. He's very stupid.
He's definitely not knowing what the Declaration of Independence is and not being familiar is the level where they're like, hey, can you make me a sandwich? And he's like, real quick. Okay, yeah. So I have
the walk me through it. Head.
The dumber part is he was getting advice on how to ask her out, and then they kept telling him, hey, whatever you do, don't bring up the fact that the future, you know, like,
that's emotional.
I love this. This is the challenge for the episode. What can we bring up that Pete will eventually bend back to him being like, and he messed up that date. Anyway, I believe it's like a magician being like, he can do anything to bend it back.
Yeah. To actually bend it back to more of a broad topic, because it's not as long as between season one and season two, but we have had a break since season two and season three. How are you feeling about this premiere episode getting back into Invincible?
A ton happened. It was, I think they did a great job. We got a training montage in the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, don't skip leg day, bro. You know, but like, there was a lot of fun things in here. It was great to be back. Q-Tip did the music for the training montage. I mean, this was fun.
It is good. I mean, I like last season, I feel like this show really does a ton, feels like a direct translation of the comic, all things we like. Though I do think, like, when we start a new season, I do like something that feels like a little bit of table setting or introducing mm-hmm. a larger idea. And this plugs directly into what happened last season. I feel like we don't get a lot of sort of, hey, this season is about the struggle of maintaining a love life as you're defending the world or whatever.
Well, I think this is just my guess here, but like, given season one was all focused around Omni-Man, like we had the thing that it was originally, I always forget the issue, but issue 12 or 13, where it turns out Omni-Man is evil and part of the Viltrumite Empire, etc. That shocking turn. They laudably took it and put it in the first episode of the season. So that was the thing hanging over season one. It was Omni-Man versus Mark. Season two, we got Angstrom Levy, and there were a lot of other things going on in season two, but that was definitely, like you're saying, the thing hanging over there. My assumption, based on the end of this episode, is this season is Mark versus Cecil. You know, we'll see how it turns out, but like, that's the thing that I took away from it, at least.
I agreed, but I will say that's something that was a little bit happening in previous seasons, mm-hmm. so it doesn't feel like a little bit of a twist. Like, the two things you just described were like big thematic ideas introduced, and then they boiled all season and then were resolved. This feels like something that is a series situation, that Cecil's mm-hmm. not trustworthy. So it's hard to be like, I want to be able to put my finger on this and be like, season three, oh man, this is the Viltrumite War mm-hmm. season. And like, maybe that's also what's going to be happening. But I guess it's just, there's, like we're talking about, there's so much going on that it feels like maybe it's hard to focus on any one thing mm-hmm. or idea.
And don't forget the will they, won't they of this season. You know what I mean? Come on.
Bend it like Pete Ham, I always say.
Yeah.
Pete
Ham is, be careful. I bought a bunch of Pete Ham for, I was having family over for dinner. Mm-hmm. Not great.
Did you check out the Quora guide, by the way, on how to make sandwiches? Because I was very confused. They need to dumb that down exponentially.
Wow. Yeah, they get right into the bread stuff, and I'm like, slow down.
Whoa. What's that? What is bread? This is, pulling back way too far for the discussion we're having, but Invincible, the comics, is kind of like that, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there was a very strong idea at the beginning, and the rest of it is like ongoing soap opera of stuff happening constantly with a couple of, pinpoints of the Invincible War, the Viltrumite War, etc.
But here's the thing with that. The comics are like in just sequential. Like there's not seasons. There's trades. And I think a lot of comics are written in seasons for a trade now. Mm-hmm. But Invincible, like you're saying, definitely was not. It was like, once we kicked that, pushed that boulder down the hill, it rolled. And I guess not to be nitpicky about this, but like when you are moving it to TV, give me a little bit of that because I want it to be different and feel a little different than the comic while still telling the same or similar stories.
By the way, I completely 100% agree with absolutely everything you're saying. I just do wonder if I don't know the exact schedule of when they wrote these episodes or anything like that, but as they are getting into a place adapting the comic book where it is this wash of things always happening, I wonder if they're like, yeah, cool, let's just go. We were already picked up for season four. Let's just have stuff happen, and stuff will continue to happen. People know what the show is at this point. We can lean back into being the comic book. And conversely, like you're saying, it is a stronger TV show when it leans into that season-long structure, that episodic structure, etc., instead of, here's some stuff, enjoy.
Yeah. I'll tell you, one of the stuff that I'm not enjoying is the fact that I have to say Darkwing 2 instead of Darkwing Duck, and it's driving me crazy.
Oh, nice. Man. What are you going to say about that? Like blathering Blatherskype or something?
Well, hey, look at this guy.
Is that what he says, or is that
Yes, blathering Blatherskype.
Oh, okay.
Launchpad says that. Gizmo Duck says that. The armor, that's the passcode for the armor to fly and
So what does Darkwing Duck say? I'm the terror that
he said, let's get dangerous.
Let's get dangerous. That's
what Come on,
which is
man.
A crazy catchphrase for a children's show on in the 90s in the afternoon. I was like, let's get dangerous? Whew. When you say you have to say that, who are you saying that to besides the two of us?
Hear somebody say Darkwing, you don't finish it in your head and say Duck. You know what I mean? Like you don't have that going on.
Does that happen a lot to you, like at the grocery store?
Yeah, and you can't bring up anything that's close to Dark or Wing, and then
I really hate to agree with Pete here, but I every time they said Darkwing in the episode, I'm like, that can't be right.
Yeah,
I agree. It does feel wrong. It feels like a little bit of a rip, especially when it's Darkwing 2, when I'm like, now you should definitely be saying duck.
Yeah,
you're saying another word.
And just to mention, because I saw some questions about this online, because it was a very quick thing in season 2. He was the former Robin turned Nightwing take on Batman identity of the Gotham City-esque location in the Invincible
Midnight
Universe,
City.
Midnight City, that was under a cone of darkness and he was killing criminals in there. So Invincible had to take him down. I think it was like one scene, if I remember correctly. So it is a semi-random return, but I think what it's driving home is that like, that was somebody that Invincible saw as a killer, as a criminal. And same thing with the Reanimen, who were created by DAA Sinclair. So we are getting the setup of Cecil being like, I'm rehabilitating these criminals and getting them to work for me. And
let me say, like, I feel like we're meant to be on Invincible's side here. He's doing the right thing. But when Cecil was explaining, I was like, hey, man, he's right. You can't just like be like ignore these people. Also, I found it especially like hypocritical when Mark was like, Malta Paul is just duplicates. I'll kill all of these.
Yes.
I'll kill them. Because I'm like, I don't know. Killing is killing. That he wrecks them.
I agree with you on the Invincible thing, honestly. And I'm trying to think back what my reaction was reading the comic, because I feel like Cecil was more clearly not evil, but in the wrong in this case.
Yeah. I agree. I definitely was, when that story was sort of, when the Rihanna men were there, I was like, okay, great. Cecil, you fucked up. And then when he's talking to Mark, I was like, oh, I believe him. Maybe we're getting older.
Do you think it has something to do with maybe Walton Goggins' voice work there? Because there's a level of like, just sort of calm explaining that's coming from him versus the way Steven Yeun is doing, just screaming at him the other entire time. Yeah. So it might be that.
It could be that. I also think the juxtaposition of the Multipol stuff and Ekstrom Levy, which we just saw in the previous sound, like it feels like Mark just is more suspect what he's doing. Because what he's saying is the classic superhero line of like, hey, these guys are killers. We don't do that. They killed my friend. It's just Mark's actions are also compromised in this episode, I think, from my observation of it. So it's like it makes it more interesting, I think.
Also, there's a lot going on. I feel like he's just kind of like trying to keep up with everything and kind of just freaking out, you know?
Well, a part of it, I'm not remembering the end of last season so well, but he's probably overcompensating for killing Ekstrom Levy, right? Like, yeah. That's probably a large part of what is going on for Mark, where he feels like he killed Ekstrom accidentally. And it was not his fault. And now he's coming in and seeing what Cecil's doing. And he's like, no, you're wrong. But in a certain way, he's kind of yelling at himself. I don't know.
Yeah,
that could be. Or maybe like Pete, he's obsessed with his relationship situation and can't move past it to talk about anything else.
Dude, I mean, a lot goes down. I mean, you saw him just floating above her home, you know, like he was, you know, he was really kind of having a moment there.
Well, before we get to that, let's just jump back to the Cecil thing. One thing that I thought was interesting, given how Cecil is the guy who always knows everything all the time, it was surprising to see Donald consistently identifying things that were going on with Doc Seismic and Cecil brushing him aside. What do you think's going on there?
That was hilarious when Donald was like just kind of reporting what was happening and Cecil was like, yeah, I can see Donald. It was really, I thought it was, you don't get a lot of funny lines out of Cecil. So it was nice to see.
I think Cecil's thing is like, is this a problem right now? I can see something's happening here maybe, but like, it's not a big enough problem for me to talk about right now until it is pretty quickly.
So you think it's just like task management? Like we got to deal with the big thing before we deal with the small things. And when the small things become big, then we'll deal with them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But that's why, like, Donald, we spent a lot of time last season, but Donald coming to grips with the fact that he's mostly
he died 28 times.
Yeah, 38 times, I think. It's a lot. But I think it's now we're just sort of moved past that. And he's like, I'm a pretty good robot. So listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah. Another thing that I thought was interesting in the episode, and we got a bunch of this last season, but Rexplode is so softened to the point that I thought maybe Jason Mantzoukas had been switched out for somebody else with the voice. Like, it's just completely different on the voice. Pete, you're grooving out there?
Yeah, I agree. I feel like he's softened a little bit, but we still get some great Rexplode. I mean, when he says, eat a bag of dicks, that's fun.
No. The line was actually, no final quips before your deaths. And Rexplode says, eat your own dick.
Own dick, yeah.
And he's got full underground dick out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was like, hey, we won. I'm naked. Let's party.
Yeah.
I think that's fun.
Yeah, I mean, if you're near lava, you know.
You're not cold. What?
Get your dick out.
I don't think that's the same.
Alice is worried about non-lava shrinkage.
Mm-hmm. You ever see a volcano? That's pretty sexy.
Wow. All right.
Interesting.
That's what you're into. Cool, man. If the temperatures just got to increase for you to be like, oh, it's sexy time. Mm-hmm. All right, man. Good for you.
If a volcano is exploding, so am I. You know what I'm talking about, Pete?
Oh, wow. I mean,
a volcano is a more sexual mountain. Let's not split hairs.
What do you think the most sexy natural disaster is? Because I would say volcano, what? Clearly, dude. But what?
Whoa. That's a horrible thing to think about.
I mean,
I guess the orgasm pandemic of 1917.
Well, all right. I guess neither of you guys have serious answers to this question like I
do. I'm not.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you want me to say, so I'm just going to ignore you because that
was insane. Open up, Pete, for God's sakes.
We're being honest here on the podcast. We're sharing our feelings. I shared my feelings about finding volcanoes to be very sexual, and I'd love to hear from you. But
this is my most kept secret, what I'm sharing right now. I'm wide open here, Pete.
Yeah, all I'm thinking about is the Reese's Cups lava commercial when you say, volcanoes, so...
Yeah, that's also very sexual.
Well, I was going to say pizza candy sexual, clearly.
Yeah, no question. All right,
which candy is the most fuckable, Pete?
Well, that's a harder question because there's logistics to consider and there's just straight turn on.
For sure.
Because I think the answer, though, for Pete, for both, is Fun Dip.
What else in the episode? We get Oliver gets his powers already. Any thoughts on that? Reactions?
Well, I think that's adding to Mark's stress level. You know, he's trying to juggle a lot, and the fact that his brother now wants to be a superhero is going to be... I mean, you know, it was nice to see him play catch and have a moment. But that's going to be tough to deal with.
I mean, all this stuff feels like it's like getting to the thing that will be important, but it's a lot of setting the stage, I think, here.
Yeah. And one last thing that I'll say about the Doc Seismic stuff. I thought it was interesting, the power creep that's going on the show, by which I mean... We started with this montage of Invincible lifting an iceberg and beating up a giant and all of these things that prove just he's insanely overpowered at this point. So what the show needs to throw at him needs to be even more, even bigger and more over the top. So we get these giant bugs, etc. It works for me, but as he continues to get stronger and stronger, I'm curious, I don't know, what is going to be a challenge for him?
But that was fun, that giant... that giant fight because, his parents were here and there was just a training thing and he was like, you're mean. I thought that was a funny couple of seconds after the fight. That was nice. But Justin's right.
I did think it was interesting the way that everyone is captured and sort of cowed by Doc Seismic, which I didn't quite like. Whenever Robot is like, I'm powerless, I'm like, your whole thing is like never losing. So I thought that was interesting.
It was also a little weird to me that they're like, oh my God, they've captured every hero in the United States and there are like 10 of them.
Yeah.
I don't know what was up with that. But it was nice. It was fun to see a bunch of other heroes that we haven't seen before. Any other thoughts on the episode, notes on the episode you guys want to call out?
The stuff after the credits there in space was really fun. Nice to see the old one eye hanging out with his dad and trying to win him over was really funny. And that whole thing, like, what are they going to do? Like, get a really big laser and then it just kind of zooms out and he's trapped in a really big laser. That was just hysterical. And he's adorable the way he's kind of sticking around and sticking to his mission. So, I'm excited to see kind of that all collide again. But, it's a fun bit that's going out there in space.
I definitely like, it's funny they're coming at that much larger story with a little comedy at the front end, but I actually think that's good.
Yeah. Before we wrap up here, then who was most
one? Just a couple of things. I thought the way that Mark's giant centipede wound sort of healed over the last couple scenes, I thought was just a smart. It was slowly healing from when he was in the cave to when he was confronting Kiesel.
It was nice where they didn't call attention to it, but you could see it happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was cool. I will say, I mean, we sort of glanced it, but he really did blow that with Eve. Their relationship's inevitable for a million.
You can't say that.
I mean, do you think he's going to get back together with Amber? We're going to get a little AMA action, whatever you want to call it.
I'm hoping, but yeah, he clearly blew that, and I don't think there's any going back after that. You know what I mean?
He yelled at her
at the end. He was like, I can't do this, and then flew away like a dick. So
if you were in that situation, would you tell her about the future version of her?
You can't do it in the beginning. You can't do it in the beginning. You got to bring it up a little bit later. You know what I mean?
How far later? Second date?
Week or two?
Week or two?
Week.
Wow.
I don't know. That's a...
How many dates have you got on by then?
Hopefully a couple.
Oh, wow. He is fast. And what kind of candy again are you? Take it out.
Yeah. I mean, the it is, it's a tough, you know, withholding a secret. I think that's the other thing about Mark is his purity with his take on Darkwing, not Duck, and that Rihanna Men is like he has to just say the truth and say what he thinks. And so with Eve, he also does that. And I think that's something we like about him, even as we see him mess
up. He didn't have the alligator at the end, though. That was uncalled for. That was out of line.
Yeah. But I think next episode we'll see a moment where he, you know, sort of throws it away and is like, come on, let's get dangerous.
Yeah. It makes him more complicated, you know,
mm-hmm.
when he's just difficult.
Anything else for the episode before we start to wrap up here? Any other?
I liked Mom's talk with Cecil, her sticking to her guns, being like, yo, bro, I'm not trusting you. And that's just how it's going to roll. You know, that whole kind of power struggle of like, hey, your son's got powers. It'd been nice to get a phone call. So I liked her kind of being like, listen, you might be able to murder me in a second, but my family comes first.
Two things I'll call out. One, I thought it was weird the duplicate had her engagement ring over her costume. Very strange to me.
Well, I mean, what do you do when you're wearing a glove? If you have you got to take it off.
Yeah, but you don't put your rings on over your gloves, or you leave them at home if you're going to be a superhero.
Well, lets you know the ring doesn't fit, you know what I mean? If it fits with a glove underneath it.
If the ring doesn't fit, you must acquit. That's what I always say.
Quit from this marriage.
Yeah, sure. And then I also liked Eve saying she's going back to school for architecture. I just really like the plot line of her being
Well, it seemed like that was all going to go out the window because they were going to start fighting crime together. You know what I mean? So it was like, oh, nice that you had a dream going on, but we're going to ruin all of that.
Oh, I guess architects can't fight crime in Pete's world. Is that what you're saying?
No, but she's like, hey, I'm doing all this stuff. And I'm like, well, there's about to be a huge Viltrumite war. We're going to need you over here. I hope you can do both, but it seems like we're setting you up to be like, I have to let this go.
My dad's an architect. Do you think he can't fight crime also, Pete? Is that what you're saying?
Pete.
Maybe.
You want to tell Alice's dad who's listening to this while drawing
something?
I'll
call him right now. He'll know what we're talking about. Hold on.
He's like, son, sorry, I'm beating a purse snatcher within an inch of his life right now and thinking about how I can combine some concrete in a like neo-brutalist fashion.
Wow.
I think it's good. I like it. I just like the idea of her being like, oh, hey, I could be a superhero and I'll keep doing that, but also I should learn my craft. That's something that I feel like you never see in any superhero media ever other than a quick training fight montage and that's it. So that's nice. I don't know.
It was a little weird where she put herself down when she was like, yeah, I'm going to go to school because look what I did with this place. I was like, you made a cool ass tree fort out of nothing. What are you talking about? You did a great job.
It's pretty cool.
I look forward to the architecture montage we're going to get where she's just
I hope so.
Dun, dun, dun.
I hope Q-Tip does the music for it.
Yeah,
for sure.
I will say that when we're talking needle drops, they still haven't quite nailed the needle drops in this show.
The montage Q-Tip music was great.
Yeah, it's fine. Something's just a little off with the way that
it's just. We talked about this last season and probably the season before as well. It's just they're not edited to the music.
Yeah,
and
it's
strange.
It's just off. Yeah,
still good music though.
You're sure the music choices are fine. It's just there's something about the way that they're synced up with what's happening on screen, which is like, yeah, I don't know, just play this song, I guess.
Yeah, it feels like a DJ who's just pressing play and like the other room while the action's happening.
All right. Well, why don't we end on a positive note here and talk about the invincible moment of the episode. What do you think was the most invincible moment of the episode? Justin, it seems like you're queued up and ready to go.
Sort of. I mean, in a story like this where there is so much happening, it's hard to like really be like, that's the thing that I want to – get onto. But I guess I would say the scene with Mark and his guy friends bowling felt like the show came to rest on something and actually was – we got to see Invincible just hanging out. It felt like it took a breath there, and I thought that was important in this very busy episode.
Also, it was funny that they both sucked at bowling and – and the other guy, that was his superpower. So that was kind of a sweet moment.
Bowling is hard. Have you ever tried it? It's the one with the heavy ball and the pins.
I love bowling, man. Can't do it sober, that's for sure.
Interesting. What's your high?
Oh, what's your high score?
Oh man, I one time in college, I got real fired up and almost bowled. I had two.
Don't tell me you're almost bowled.
Yeah, well, it was like I almost had like all strikes except for two spares and two nines.
What was your score?
I don't remember. I was, like I said, I was very fired up.
I had two nines and all strikes, you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be very high.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You don't remember that number.
Well, somebody in our listening audience, I'm sure, could do the math on that one. But Pete, I'll throw out my Invincible moment while you're still thinking about what number you got in bowling. The thing that jumped out to me was after Shrinking Ray returns, which we didn't really talk about, I thought that was weird. Like, I know they've changed the continuity there, but her being like, and I'm also back. I think it was Rex Blood saying, the family's back and I'm breakable. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's it for the Guardians of the Globe, I guess.
Yeah.
So, like you said, there's a lot of stuff going on in this episode, but that's one moment that sort of like piqued my interest in terms of we are going to see a thing happen with this. Pete, what about you?
Oh, we know what it was. Him floating above Eve's place, trying to gather his nerve to ask her out.
Mm. You felt it in that moment. You floated above so many houses.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're lucky enough, you know.
Yeah, if you're lucky enough. If you would like to
float above somebody's house.
Okay.
Yeah, don't answer that.
Oh, yikes. If you'd like to support this podcast and all the podcasts, we do patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Invincible. Apple, Spotify, Android, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. Comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay invincible.
Oh, Pete, I created a candy I thought you might like. It's called Fuck Dip. You could probably figure out what it's like.
It's like the volcano of candies, I bet.
Yum, yum. Oh, gross.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.